This Fred and Jeff Show podcast is brought to you by Five Star Pest Control, Anthony's Cigar Emporium, and Arizona Party Rental.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful,
that
Jeffrey.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and you can even subscribe to this grand old program on iTunes.
Or Beyond Pod. God. Any sort of operating system you have, you can get us.
So, Jeff, how have you been?
Man, we just got back from Costa Rica. You know what's funny, Fred?
I know you're wearing like a South Sea kind of...
I'm kind of in a South Sea mood today. You know, it's 110 outside, so stay cool. You have to wear appropriate attire.
That is so cool right now. I haven't packed away my winter gear yet.
Yeah, you know, there are family stories about mom dropping you on your head a lot when you were a kid. And I think you're just proving those stories right.
Oh, it is beautiful outside.
It is warm.
I must say,
the evenings are beautiful, though.
That I have contributed to the community by washing my car yesterday.
I did too. I washed it before I came over here this morning.
So we're hoping for some rain. Coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, things that are coming this week, and actually it's sort of the theme of the show in general sense, we are celebrating our nation's birthday.
Correct.
This week.
Celebration of Independence Day.
That's right.
It's awesome.
Now, something that I look forward to, you know, I look forward to a lot of things, but this is one of the things that I look forward to a lot, and that is the annual Team America World Police sing-along and curse-a-thon.
At the loft?
At the loft.
Oh, boy.
So on July 4th, on Thursday,
yeah,
they show the movie, and whenever a song breaks out, everyone sings along, including America, Frack Yeah, coming to save the something-something day. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
nice. And I still haven't seen that movie.
Oh,
I got to see that.
Yeah, and also it's fun because it's sort of like you know, you get to talk to the screen and yell at the puppet actors.
Once again, mom must have dropped you on your head multiple times.
No, it is
yelling at a screen
is
gives you jobs.
Brilliant,
brilliant.
So
tons of stuff going on for the 4th of July.
Yeah, and we're still waiting at this moment for a certain flower to bloom.
You know, I was in Costa Rica last week, as you know.
Yeah.
And as all of you out there know, because I heard you and George via the World Wide Web, when I was sitting in beautiful Drake Bay, courtesy of the Aguila de Osa, fabulous place, folks. If you want to sneak out of Tucson and go someplace really cool, the Aguila de Osa, couldn't get any better. But I was listening to you and your happy sidekick, George. And it made me understand that I am really a needed commodity on this show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You feel that way all you want. Just keep on believing. Believe the dream, Jeffrey.
I believe it. So, folks, this is a Fred and Jeff Show. And no, but if you don't know, this show is all about getting out and meeting your neighbor.
Having fun in Tucson.
Whether you're like us and you've been here, your family's been here for over 100 years, or you've been here for 100 days, people in our community make our community a great place to live. And that's what we talk about. That's what we're going to be talking about today. That's what we've talked about over the last 3 years. And Fred, you've got some cool stuff to talk about that people should take advantage of to get out and meet the people in the community.
Absolutely. And actually, what I was saying or alluding to earlier is at Tohono O'Chul Park, we're still waiting for the Queen of the Night. The Night Blooming Sirius is still eluding us. But if you go to nightbloom.org, you can sign up for a newsletter and get the latest and greatest immediately and know when those ladies will be blooming. And that is a spectacular night at Tohono O'Chul.
There's also a lot of fun things going on around town for the 4th of July this week.
Yeah, and you have all those.
Oh, my gosh. Folks, if you want the comprehensive list of all the things that are going on this week, go to the website, fredandjeff.com, because we've got stuff from everybody. The Tucson A Mountain Show, Tucson Independence Day Extravaganza at Hotel Congress, the Tucson Toros Baseball Game and Fireworks, Sunday, July 4th.
Is that a retro back game? Because it's the Padres, Tucson Padres.
Yeah, that's a great question. The Tucson Toros minor league baseball team will celebrate the 4th of July against the Yuma Scorpions, followed by evening fireworks at High Corbett on July 4th.
Oh, interesting.
So it's not the Padres, it's the Toros.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
Cool.
And then Let Freedom Ring concert, free admission. There's the 4th of July Spectacular in Oro Valley at their municipal pool. The JW Marriott Star Pass has got fun stuff. The Westward Look.
And all these things are going to be...
Benson, Bisbee, Casa Grande, Florence, Marana, Nogales. Everybody is celebrating our independence here in Southern Arizona. So you have no excuse to be sitting at home watching it somewhere else when you can be outside enjoying it with your neighbors.
And all that information, where you can go, all the events that are happening this week, if you go to fredandjeff.com and events page,
that's right,
it'll all be there.
There will be.
So the last thing that I want to tell you for this little portion of the segment, back to the Loft. We've been promoting every Tuesday at the Loft. They have a thing called Happy Tuesday, experimental comedy curated by Mr. Mike Sterner, friend of the show. And in studio with us today is Daniel Kirby, whose improvisational group. You have the first Tuesday of the month, right, Daniel?
Yes, the first Tuesday of every month. We're doing a show called Behind the Screens. Name of our group is Slow Clap. And basically, we play a movie with the sound on low and improvise a director's commentary track, or like behind-the-scenes commentary track to the film.
So you pretend to be the director, the producer, a couple of the actors.
Right. And every once in a while, we'll throw in a wild card, like someone who's not even on the cast list, you know?
Oh, so like Joe Pesci shows up one day for some movie that he's not involved in.
Yeah, yeah. Or we'll just make up a position like some kind of consultant, you know, like... Wolf consultant or something. If there's
the,
a wolf,
the craft, movie. The craft table consultant.
Yeah, yeah, craft services.
Craft services.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So, what movies do you guys have this week?
Well, now that you guys have listed off all these July 4th things, it occurs to me that maybe I should have picked something that has something to do with July 4th, since our show's on the week of July 4th. But what we do have is The Curse of the Aztec Mummy as our film for this week.
That is very timely.
Yeah.
Very timely. I don't know why, but yeah. It's timely.
Well, the Aztecs were like, you know, kind of like American independence.
Yeah.
They celebrate, don't they?
I hope so.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I assume by the end of the movie, the mummy dies, so... It's
why
kind
you
of like
just a, ruined it?
Well, listen.
Come on, man. Why am I coming
alert.
Now?
Spoiler
a
alert.
Little late for that.
All right. So if people want to go see this thing, what are the stats here?
It's this Tuesday night. Show starts at 9. It's a free show on the back lot of the Loft. And they have an outdoor bar back there, so you can buy drinks and enjoy the show. But yeah, I think the bar opens at 8, show starts at 9.
Now, wait a second. What sort of credentials do you have for this improvisation that you're pulling off?
Well, I've been improvising with Slow Clap for over a year now.
And what's Slow Clap?
Slow Clap's just the name of our troupe. So we all kind of met in college because we were all involved with Comedy Corner at the University of Arizona, which does a weekly improvised games and sketch show. So we were all involved with that, and then we kind of wanted to do something else, so we started putting together our own shows. We performed at Beowulf Alley Theater and the Red Barn Theater around town.
Yes, a moment of silence for the Red Barn Theater.
It's still alive.
Is it?
Yeah, it's still going.
I thought they shut them down.
They're getting threatened. The fire marshal threatened to shut them down, but they're appealing and still keeping it going.
Save nice. The Red Barn.
Save the Red Barn.
Yeah. Okay. The Red Barn's really the only place that guys like Tony Zinman and those type of guys can go and perform.
Yeah.
You know, Z tried to make it to the Beowulf, but it didn't work.
He didn't get to the big times.
Well, he got to the big times, but then they shut him down.
Oh,
poor
that's right. Okay, so I have a thing here. So we'll do a scene. You're in a radio station with a couple goofballs. Go.
Oh, yeah, you're good.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, enough teasing of you. Hey, folks, so go to the Loft and Tuesday at what time?
9 o'clock.
Get there, 9 p.m. Get there at 8 because you can get a wristband and a beer.
Yeah.
And they have a really good selection of all sorts of tasty items there.
Awesome. All right. Well, good luck, man. I hope you guys have a lot of fun.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
All right. So
let's go. We got to take our first big break, and we'll come back with lots and lots and lots of Independence Day information for you here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And welcome back, Tucson. This is The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful.
That's right.
And, you know, Jeff, we have, beyond our guests that we have a couple little mini guests.
Yes, we have little munchkins in the studio today. One of them is Mr. Larry Ronstadt over there in the corner, but he doesn't want to be on the air. And yeah, the other one is...
Mia looks like she's dying.
Yeah, Mia Ronstadt. Hi, Mia.
Hi, Daddy.
Step a little closer to the microphone, okay?
Okay.
Now, what did you want to do today on the show?
I wanted to tell Uncle Freddy a riddle.
Okay, fire away.
Okay.
No leg sits on four legs. Two legs sits on three legs. And four legs got some.
That would be a fish sitting on a table with a man. And
you already knew this one.
And the cat gets the bones.
You got any other good ones there, Beans?
No.
Except I need a paper and a pencil to draw the word Jack in a box.
Jack in a box?
Jack in the box.
Back to the corner. Thanks, Mia.
That was a good one. You know, that's actually a classic because that was one of the riddles that was told in the caves between Gollum and Frodo.
Oh, really?
Riddles in the dark.
Interesting.
The old classic.
Interesting. That's too funny.
So with us today, this is very exciting.
Because I had no idea my daughter was so well read.
I didn't either. I thought, you know, being in clown school all the time.
Oh, boy.
All right, I'm going to be beaten soundly in a few minutes. Now, our guest today, our real guest today.
Our
big guest today. Now, look, I really need to say this because I don't know if I ever told him this, but I think his
The bromance begins.
No.
Tristan, can we get some Al Green music going on now?
His last year as base commander at Davis Monthan, you know, we were out for the 4th of July.
I remember that.
And Lieutenant Colonel Ken Lofbaum, gave a presentation on our founding fathers and the birth of our nation. And it was just, inspiring. It was just gorgeous. I wish I had taped it because it was something for the archives. And when you and I were talking about the show today, and the fact that it's the 4th of July, one of the first things I thought of was, man, if we can get Kent on to sort of replicate that story, that would be phenomenal.
Well, and Kent...
Now I'm on the spot.
No. And this is how the conversation went. Jeff, who do you think we should have on our show this next week? And I said, well, Fred, let's look at the list. And because we had someone back out on us. So we're like, okay, let's look at the list. And then I said, you know, it is going to be the 4th of July. And all of a sudden, the phone... dead silence, and I could hear the other side rumbling like a rocket ship getting ready to take off. And he goes, oh my God, I know who. Okay, I'll call you back later. Bye. Click. And that's when he called you up and asked you if you'd be so kind as to fill in.
I am happy to be here with my friends.
This is
awesome.
Thanks.
You'll never find.
Yeah.
Somebody got the soft sax music.
There you go.
So, so before we get into this, Ken, I mean, you've been sort of out of the public eye for a while. You retired from the Air Force.
Yeah.
But give us, you know, sense of who you are, you and Mary, how you got here, and some of your career highlights.
Well, the military brought Mary and myself here back in 1984 when I learned to fly the A-10. So we coming back to Tucson was actually coming back to the place of our honeymoon. We had shortly been married. I had just completed pilot training out here to Davis Monthan, like so many, actually thousands of other A-10 pilots. I learned to fly the A-10 here. I spent some time here and then didn't come back till 2006 to be the commander of the base. In the intervening time, I had the privilege of serving the country all over the world, primarily flying the F-15E Strike Eagle. I flew that for 16 years, got to take that aircraft to combat in Iraq and Afghanistan on a number of deployments.
Did you ever dent the fenders on that thing?
I did the fenders. I was very docile in that aircraft, you know, being a fighter pilot, just kind of take it around for cross country. No, the fact is, flying for our nation, everyone who is serving the country right now during the last 10 years since 9/11 virtually is a combat veteran. And I had my privilege of serving the country. And then also the privilege of coming back here to Tucson. You know, we had spent a lot of time overseas, and we didn't really have, even though we're from Texas and we have family there, and we'd always kind of thought about going back there, coming back to Tucson became very natural for us. We got to reunite with some friends and then make many new friends like you during the 2 years in command of the base and of the 355th Fighter Wing. So coming back to spend a little bit of time with you here and talk about Independence Day, a day that is so important to our nation's history, is an honor for me.
Well, thanks. It's an honor for us to have you on the show.
Yeah, it truly is an honor. I mean, I got to tell you how much I respect you individually. You know, your lovely bride, Mary, who also, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't recognize the value that our airmen bring to the community and their spouses, because it's not just you serving our country as a commander or flying on missions, putting yourself in harm's way, but the spouse you leave behind to support
you. Yeah, if I could talk about both of those just briefly here, and just to touch on that. So I'm so proud of what the airmen, and it's not just the airmen, but, you know, at being an airman myself, I'm going to brag on the airmen who serve at Davis Monthan Air Force Base.
You should. They're good guys and gals.
This Tucson, in fact, Southern Arizona writ large, is a military camp. There are virtually every family who's been here more than a couple of generations, and I know yours has been here for 5 to 7 generations. Every family that's been here has touched by the military in some way, and many, many are the children of veterans who served during World War II. You know, that's the time when Tucson had its explosive growth, was during the late 40s and early 50s into the 60s, and it was because so many airmen saw this place and the beauty of Southern Arizona while they were here during the time, and they came back in massive numbers. So there's this natural fertile land for airmen to come into. And when you get to Tucson as a serving airman, even if you haven't been here before, it is a friendly place to be. And I think it's largely because there are so many veterans and children of veterans and spouses of veterans here, and they immerse themselves directly into the community. I think the airmen at Davis Monthan is comprised, maybe second to the U of A, the largest engine of volunteerism in our community.
Oh, yeah.
There are hundreds of thousands of hours, actually, of volunteer time into nonprofits, into various service activities, into the city. So these airmen who come from across the country, just like their fathers and grandfathers did during World War II, they learn to love and be a part of the town. Well, they do that today as well. And if I can touch on the spouses, you know, if it were not for the spouses of the active and the reserving guardsmen here in the town, things would fall apart. I could not, as the commander at Davis Monthan, I could not have done my job without Mary being there as a co-equal partner, as a volunteer, more than a full-time job. And that is the norm out there, especially during time of war, when families are separated and difficult things happen. And when I mean, when I'm talking about difficult things, people come back with difficulties or you have casualties. Having the strength of a spouse there walking with you in leadership or down within the units, you cannot put a measure on that. So I am forever grateful to Mary and to all. If you're a spouse out there and you're supporting your loved one deployed, God bless you. Thank you for your equal service to this nation.
Well, I want to brag on Mary a little bit, too, because not only do they support their spouses and the mission on the base, but they create a irreplaceable talent pool in the community. I know Mary has been involved in Rotary and other nonprofit charitable organizations.
Yes.
I mean, and she's not the only one.
No.
You know, and we have spouses who are physicians, who have medical backgrounds, who have technical backgrounds.
Teaching.
Yes. And they're in the community. They're embedded here in this community.
They're making
this place
now. Absolutely.
A better Tucson.
This becomes their home. This is a fertile place for the military to come live, and hopefully the military and their spouses and their families have made this a better place at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
And
true.
The volunteer program, this stuff people don't know. The airmen, you know, these are a lot of, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids.
It's the coolest thing. And it is awesome to see them out there. I love it.
And there's an overt program. If you want to participate in the community, there's a contact on base, and they have a resource right
yes, there.
There
is. There's plenty of opportunities. If you want to get involved, and it is encouraged to by leadership, there are many, many outlets with huge diversity in activities for what you're interested in, and they make it a difference. If you need help with a good red-blooded American, contact the base. Go through the public affairs office.
Seriously.
And you're going to get help.
Seriously, because, I mean,
that's awesome.
This is one of my boys from the Tucson, Arizona Boys Corps.
Yes.
You know, parents can be lame. But there were airmen on every single shift of the tree lot. You know, the biggest fundraiser the Boys Corps has.
Right.
Airmen from Davis-Monthan were selling Christmas trees to help out the Boys Corps.
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, that's one little thing. They're all over the place helping out this community.
Quietly going about their business, helping, serving without accolade. It's an awesome little slice of America.
Absolutely. You know, and you make a great point there, because there are a lot of folks out there that do serve the community, and they like the recognition. You know, and so oftentimes you wonder, are you serving the community to get the recognition, or are you doing it out of the love for the community? And I think 99.9% of the time, it's the, you know, they're doing it to help the community. But you never hear one word about all the work that the airmen do.
No.
So they definitely do it for the love of the community.
Yeah, and yes, there's goodness in the hearts there, but it also makes this incumbent upon leaders of these organizations. This is my personal feeling. But definitely out at the base, there is an effort to recognize privately the good works that are happening publicly. So at least someone says, well done, good and faithful servant.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Listen, we got to take a quick break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we have got...
We'll get to what we...
really, what we're kind of really excited for y'all to hear. So stick around with us. We'll be right back for the big, meaty part of the Fred and Jeff Show.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and Arizona Party Rental.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful. And Jeffrey.
Yes, Fred.
I want to thank some random person named Lori, who's been sending another show here some really cool three-dimensional art projects. So if you watch the John Justice Show, I don't know if they've ever seen it on TV, but there's some really cool stuff in here. By the way, we are inviting you to visit us at friendjeff.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and you can even subscribe to this Tome of Wisdom and Entertainment on iTunes or...
At least entertainment.
Well, maybe entertainment. It could just be white noise while you're trying to go back to sleep or something. So, we're in studio with us. I don't know what you're doing over there. Are you playing Candy Crush or something?
No, Candy Crush. What is that?
It's a game.
Is that what you're playing?
No, I have nothing on
right now. Tristan's saying yes.
I was earlier.
Oh, my goodness. I am reading the stories about the 4th of July stuff that's going on here in Southern Arizona.
Well, why aren't you paying attention to the show? That stuff will be on...
We just had a commercial break there, Jacknut.
Yeah, but...
You're playing Candy Crush.
I know what you're doing with that game.
You're turning your brain into marshmallow.
It's already marshmallow. My brain is mush.
8 years on the city council.
No, 50 years.
No coming back
50 years
it.
On the planet, and it's gone.
Yeah, that's right. You're 50 years old.
Yeah.
I'm 50.
Yeah, I found out last night I now qualify for AARP. So I'll be getting my Furs cafeteria 10% discount soon.
Luby's.
Oh, it's Luby's.
And the Golden Corral. I don't know. Those are the cafeterias, right?
All right. So, okay, let's be serious now. Get all the humor out of it.
Weren't we being serious?
Well, I guess we were. This is our life. After all, this is who we are. Just goof around and do nothing.
That's not true. In the studio with us is highly decorated, one of the icons of the Tucson community.
Okay, why can you use the word icon?
I just was making fun of you by doing
and
that.
And I cannot.
Go ahead.
All right, so in studio with us is Lieutenant Colonel Kent Lofbaum, retired.
And in parentheses.
Yeah, that was like I changed the tone of my voice to indicate parentheses.
Fred's good at radio, isn't he, kid?
Where's the button for clapping?
Yeah, the applause sign. Where is it?
The kids are over there sleeping. Go ahead, Fred.
No, they're playing Candy Crush.
What is Candy Crush?
It's a Candy Crush.
Oh, boy.
All right. So, anyways, we invited Kent here to talk about... Well, first of all, again, we want to thank you and Mary both for your service, not only to our country, but to Tucson and our families. I mean, you guys have been really supportive of the stuff we've been into. We invited you here to talk about the 4th of July,
right.
And you have, I've heard you, give these presentations, and Jeff and I are really bad at interrupting people when, they getting on a roll.
Well, but there's stuff that we don't understand. You got to ask, right?
Yeah, but I think at this point, we're just going to turn it over to you, Kent.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
And let's just talk about, the 4th of July.
Well, would you like me to talk about what it means to me, or would just – I don't want to give a little historical perspective.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's a favorite holiday of mine, and I trust for almost all Americans. It's one of the favorite ones in the calendar. I think for me, the only one that is probably as – well, Christmas, of course, but the Thanksgiving and the 4th of July are the ones our family always looked forward to. But 4th of July as a kid, my goodness – what an incredible day that was. And before I go into the history, I just have to touch on a couple of things, because this is how you grow up as a little kid enjoying this holiday. And for us, it meant when I was the littlest kid, it was, hey, okay, we have the bicycle parade. I don't know if as children you did that kind
of
stuff.
We do. We have a bicycle parade in our neighborhood.
Well, exactly. And what an American kind of thing. I'm going to make a contrast here for you. You get up in the morning, you have your crepe paper and all the different things, the twirlers you put on your bike, and you have a little bit, and then you get the bicycle brigade out there, and you're really cool. And when I was a kid, if you had the card deck and the clothesline pins, it was like power on wheels. And we were going, it was too cool for school. And then, of course, as I got a little bit older, we hung out with the teenagers at the swimming pool and little things we did. And of course, the day ended in the evening with a barbecue and the fireworks displays, typically which, as a kid, devolved into bottle rocket wars. I don't know if any of you did that kind of wicked stuff.
That stuff, when we were growing up, was illegal.
Oh, no.
You had not all in Texas.
Yeah. Oh, no. It was like the Jets and the Sharks, bottle rocket wars.
Well,
Wow, total theatrical reference with that. Good for you.
All right. So it was goodness and happiness and just that became the foundation of, for me as a little kid and into the youth, of the happiness of the 4th of July. It wasn't until later on that I realized it was actually Independence Day was based on something much more serious.
Right.
And I think it's worth going back and just touching on how serious it was and what a near-run thing it was for us not being, the greatest nation in the world and arguably the greatest nation that has ever existed. Certainly when it comes to goodness to fellow man, we stand alone. I'm biased, but, hey, look, it's the truth, okay? So it really goes back to, why did people come here in the first place? Why did people do that incredibly courageous thing at tremendous loss of life and decide to cross the Atlantic, and that's when it started primarily, cross the Atlantic in initially small numbers and later on massive numbers to come to this place, and it was for liberty. I say that liberty is the core American value. It is coupled with this concept of, freedom. We understand the term freedom, but liberty is really what it is. The ability to, from whatever your station is in life, to largely within bounds. Do with your life what you want. Make with your life. And you're into, you guys are small business leaders in this town. You understand liberty better than anyone else. To be able to make something, to go to school, to excel in school if you choose to build a business, to raise a family where you want to live. All of that and the thousands of freedoms that entail is the core American, and that's what people came here for.
Sending them to their own, to the school you want to send them to, attending the church you are, or any sort of place of worship that you want to go to.
You know, you're speaking,
those are course.
You're speaking just like they spoke in different language, of course, you know, but intent like they did in 1650 when the Pilgrims and the Puritans came over to be able to worship as the way they wanted to, instead of being forced to worship a certain way, to be able to go out on the frontier as a rugged individualist and forge your own way into life. Americans at that time, before we were a nation, were a brave, courageous people by nature, and they lost lives in the thousands, their friends, their families. They left home never to see their families again, by and large, right? So that is our foundation of who we are, an independent, rugged, brave people who deeply valued liberty. Just get off my back. Let me live the life the way I want to live my life. That is the core of who we are. So in, you know, after the French and American, sorry, the French and Indian War that happened in the 1750s and 1760s, the British Army stayed here in large numbers and tried to really exert a greater sense of control over these freedom, liberty-loving people who have been governing themselves for the last 100 years since the Pilgrims and the Puritans. And the American liberty-loving people didn't like it. I'm not going to go into the long history of all the intolerable acts that we called them, but it ultimately led to a separation as the British tried to exact control and to take self-governance away from the Americans who were here, the colonists. The freedom-loving colonists said, no, look, we have to have representation. We have to have our own representation, for example, before you tax us from London. You can't simply quarter your soldiers in our homes without asking permission. You can't deny us the ability to trade freely around the world. They essentially embargoed our ports and prevented our seafaring people from going out and doing their own trade. And eventually, the American people, at great risk to their lives, said, enough. When you will not let us be a free people, we are going to be an independent people. And keep in mind, we were saying that to the most powerful nation on the earth, Great Britain. And those founding fathers who led this effort knew that if we lost this independence, what became an independence fight, they were going to lose their lives without question. So to me, that is the foundation of where it began. It began with a brave, freedom-loving people, rugged individualists who, and that's who we are today, really. We should be. And I think at our core, who we are, who valued freedom even more than safety. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, of course, we went into the war after that. Long years of bloody struggle, many more defeats than victory. Incredible heroism by our, not only our soldiers, by our people. Lots of loss. And coming through the storm at the end of the day as a free an independent state. That was our birth. You know, what a great thing to celebrate.
Absolutely it is. We're one of the few countries in the world that can celebrate something of that nature.
Yeah, and it's worth even talking about that if I can continue.
Sure.
All right, so look, you know, I've lived spent a lot of my life over in other countries living serving the nation, and I've seen how they celebrate or don't their national independence or their national recognition day.
What you're telling me is that there are other countries that have independence days.
Well, sort of. I mean, most of them not like we do, and certainly not celebrated. And this is the contrast. And keep in mind, I'm giving you this perspective from a military person.
Okay.
All right. What I love about the way we celebrate the 4th of July is the way I grew up with it. We have kids, if it were legal, let's just say, kids who get the band of firecrackers and head out behind the barn and pop firecrackers, right? We have the Bicycle Brigade parade. We have concerts on the green here. the Tucson Pops as an example, and all these other great activities. We have these civil celebrations and happiness at being an American citizen. What do they do in France at Bastille Day? You know what they do? They do the same thing they do in Moscow on the on May Day. They roll tanks down their streets. That's their independence parade.
Why do they do that, Kent?
They're fundamentally different than we are. You know, our
is a demonstration of authority.
It's a demonstration of power and control. Absolutely. Think about it at the core of who we are. And go back to the very beginnings. We came over independently. Yes, we were sponsored in colonies, but you had freedom and independence in that regard. And we celebrate freedom and independence today. I think that's why, you know, there's been some things in the press recently about intrusion of government into our private lives. And Americans, since the beginning, have riled against that. We fought our independence war specifically for that. We celebrate as civilians the happiness and joy of being civilians. Look, there may be the military a small representation, but if in most Independence Day parades around the country, the only veterans you see in the parade are actually veterans from previous wars, typically.
Right, it'll be
the old guys.
Right, well, we're paying respect to them.
We need to take our last break of the hour, but I want to read, and you probably know this by heart, in the significance of this line, the last line of the Declaration of Independence, is that, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And those aren't idle words.
No, they weren't. I mean, look, when they wrote that, remember, we had just punched the world power squarely in the face, and we were their prize possession.
Oh yeah,
I mean, we were without question their future, and that's why they were trying to exact such restrictive control over us, and we had let them have it with these words right here. So when they wrote these words down, they knew if we lost this war, it was a near run thing. They were going to lose their lives. And these were, by and large, these were wealthy people. That means their families, if their families were executed as well, were going to be paupers and shunned by society. These were serious
words. And the amazing part about it is that these guys put their fortunes, their families, their lives, everything at risk for their neighbor.
Yes.
It wasn't for them to grab power. It wasn't for them to make more money, because by and large they had it. They were giving everything up for that idea that their neighbors and themselves all were owed liberty and independence.
You know, we need as a nation, I love the United States, I love my country, but we desperately need that kind of leadership in our nation, in our communities, in our states, and at the federal level. If we could have that kind of inspired, selfless leadership, it would change us and keep us safe and free for 250 more years.
Right.
So we need to take our last break,
yes.
Pay some bills, and when we come back, we're going to hear the story.
So, folks, stick around. We'll be right back on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we are back. This is The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. And I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating. We're gearing up for the big celebration this coming Thursday, our country's Independence Day, July 4th.
That's right. And you know what, Fred? I think I got the part of this last segment here. Other than folks, go to our website, fredjeff.com.
Yeah, go to
later
the events
today,
page.
You'll see tons of stuff, tons of events all over Southern Arizona, whether it's the national parks, it's the resorts, it's the cities. Everywhere we're celebrating the 4th of July. So if you want to have a nice little place you can go to and check out all the fun things to do, head to friendjeff.com and hit the events button and away you go.
Yeah, later this afternoon.
Right. Yeah, because you haven't done it yet. But here's the key. During our quick little break there, we were talking with Colonel Offbaum about, you know, what's your favorite story? And he looked at us and said, well, there are so many.
So let's reintroduce. We have with us Lieutenant Colonel Kent Loftbaum.
Retired.
We've been talking about our founding fathers and how other countries celebrate their independence.
Which is crazy to me. Which is crazy that other countries roll tanks down Broadway and we're, you know, we're out there shooting off bottle rockets and eating chicken and swimming and having a sense of community with our families, bicycle parades and all that kind of stuff. And other countries are doing quite different things.
I'll give you just a quick example of that. And what it means as a service man to come home during this time frame. I remember, of course, it's been more than 10 years since 9/11, right? It's almost been 12 years now, and I had not been back to America in quite a long time. You know, we were overseas, we were deployed quite a bit, and I remember coming back about 2 years, 3 years later, first time back for any length of time, and I went to the Washington, Northern Virginia area, and after having had so much time living at this time in England. And deploying from England to Southwest Asia, coming back where in England, people are much more reserved about expressions of patriotism. In fact, there's almost none except for on a couple of occasions. And that's even the British.
Well, that's when they win a big soccer game, right?
Exactly. That's right. against the Frogs, against the French. That'd be a reason to celebrate. But, I mean, certainly as an American, we did not carry around and put the flag in the back of the pickup truck and go down the main street of the local British town. We didn't do that kind of stuff. But when I got back off the airplane and was driving down the highway, I got to see all these American flags hanging across as like banners across all the overpasses. And it just made me just flood with the joy of being back in my homeland. And just this natural pride we have of, you know, some people will call it when you're overseas the ugly American or something, but there is a pride at being a part of this team, this American team. And
it's good.
I think sometimes Americans, in fact, I know it, take it for granted a little bit what a special place this is. You know, we are a nation that has gone to war many times, and this we are unique in this regard. We are a nation that's gone to war many times, but unlike the reasons that other states and other nations have gone to war, which is typically for dominion or power, to conquer land or to gain wealth, all you have to do is look across the last 60 or 70 years at the places we've been and the reasons we've gone and the thousands, the millions of people that we have liberated, and the goodness in life, the fact that we were living in Europe at the time serving the nation, and over there stands and testifies to the kind of people we are, not to control. We could have taken Europe after World War II. You bet we could have. But we gave it back. We not only did we give it back to them, we built them back up. The same thing in Japan. That is a testament to the kind of good people we are. And it's, you know, when I came back home, I got to see the goodness and reminded of what a special place this is after not being able to just celebrate it overtly.
Right. Let me ask you a question, Kent, because your career and your mindset are things that your average American don't really have. You're a career military guy. You grew up in Texas. You've been to war, and most of us can't wrap our heads around that. So from your perspective of being an American and a parent, you've got kids who are grown. And
yes.
What would you tell young adults, young parents right now? How could you share with them a great way to instill the pride of being an American, especially right now during the 4th of July? How could you share with them how they could do that with their kids?
Well, I only look back to my parents for first guidance on what they did and their parents. And of course, you know, I love my grandparents as well.
Sure.
They're passed on now. But, you know, on the 4th of July specifically, and since we're coming to that day, don't sit around the house and make it any other day. You are celebrating that and with your show here and talking about the opportunities you have in your town. But parents, get out with your kids and do the American thing. Even though it might be hot and uncomfortable out there, it's 110 out there today.
Sure, yeah.
Get out there and
get out
there and make some memories. Make some memories for your kids on this particular day. It will make a lasting impact.
It strikes me that when you say that, the first part right after we introduced you, that's exactly what you described. 4th of July means to me bicycle parades,
yes,
bottle rockets,
and
flight waving the flag in the back of the pickup.
Yes, go to the parade. Get out there and do it with your kids. It may be mundane to you, but to your children, it will not be. They will remember that, all right? And be consistent about it. Don't do it 1 year. Do it every year. Here's another little thing. This is a total non-military thing. Remember, my dad wasn't in the military.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, he was not.
First-generation military?
Yes, yes. And so my dad was a geologist, but he was a citizen, and he was an engaged citizen in the town. Show your kids that. Do not sit around the house and play on the computer or whatever you do as a young parent here and take things for granted. Get out there and be engaged in your community. Let me give you an example specifically of this.
Please.
During one particular assignment I had, I was up at the Naval War College, and it was the first time that I had lived up at the Naval War, up in a different part of the country than really where I grew up was in Texas. And it was up in Rhode Island. And Rhode Island is New England. That is really the birthplace. That's the near area near Boston. They still have civic discourse very much like they did back during that time. You know, here we have a city council. You have family members that were on the city council, but the large population is somewhat disaffected or not engaged in that.
Right.
In New England, everybody is engaged. When they had a town meeting, the whole town comes to the meeting and participates in the democratic process. Parents, if you want to make a difference with your kids, show that you're engaged. It doesn't have to be in a city council or a thing like that, but be involved in the Little League. Be involved in your church. Be an engaged citizen, just like our founders were.